Isaiah chapter 14. Couldn't have our good friend from Lebanon, Ohio, Sister Betty Titus, visiting with us today. Bus kids from way back yonder when at Bible Baptist in South Lebanon, we were pastor up there. Isaiah chapter 14. And we're going to read about verse 9. Isaiah the 14th chapter and verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee at thy coming, to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp and is brought down to the grave, and the noise thy vows. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. And how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Then they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, we're thankful, Lord, to be able to read from your word today. Thankful to have these good songs about what you've done for us, how you saved us, how we're going to heaven one day, how you walk with us every day in this life. We're thankful, God, for these good songs, this music this morning. And I pray, Lord, now that our attention may be called to these verses. Lord, we realize how important they are just by reading them. And I ask, Lord, today that great attention may be given by all of us, particularly those that may be here that are unsaved or not sure they're saved. I pray, Father, you might deal with every heart today. Help us that are saved have a greater burden for the unsaved. And God, may at the end of the day, you get all the praise and glory because you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. The context here is found in Revelation 20. If you want to turn over there, hold your place in Isaiah. I'm going to come right back to it. But just for context, look at Revelation chapter 20. This is, you need to know what's going on and what period of time you're reading about in Isaiah. And in Revelation chapter 20, the first three verses talk about that. Scripture will interpret Scripture. And in Revelation chapter 20, in verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and with a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and cast him into and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. What you read in Isaiah 14 has to do with Satan winding up in the pit for 1,000 years and what goes on in that pit, what goes on in this place called hell that is later cast into the lake of fire, and it all becomes one. But we need to see this because I want to preach a little while this morning on conversations from hell. Conversations from hell. You say, well, that's kind of a strange thing to think about. Well, it isn't really. Because they were talking down there. They were having conversation. I can promise you, this morning, if you could somehow get a microphone down to hell, you would hear conversations going on. People talking, along with all the screams of the damned. But in this place, there are two or three things that we need to see that I think will be an encouragement and help to us to understand the Word of God. Number one, notice the place that this place that it took place in. The place was hell. The setting of what we read here in Isaiah chapter 14 was hell. And you know that because down in verse 9 of the text, and he said, hell from beneath. Hell from beneath. Hell is not on this earth. I've talked to people that were in penitentiaries, people that were in hospital, and they said, "Preacher, my hell's here on earth. It might be rough here, but it's not hell. It's not the hell that God's talking about. There is no such thing as hell on this earth. There's a hard time on this earth. The Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. We live that way. God said it's going to be hard for us. The Bible says beneath. Then look down at verse 15 of the same text in Isaiah. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So we know that it took place in hell. It was beneath, and God said it was down. It's beneath and down. You distinguish that from heaven, because God said when Jesus left the earth, he went up into heaven. So heaven is here, hell's down here. They're not all together in the same place. And so, well, it's a heaven on earth down here where I live. Well, all right. If you think that, that's fine. But you better be ready for the one that's on the other side. You better know you're saved and washed in the blood if you're going to the one on the other side. But it's not all about down here. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. This thing is temporary. And one day when you die, you're going to go to heaven, you're going to go to hell, depending on what you did with Jesus Christ. And so the Lord said here, the place this was coming from, the setting here, was hell. Then notice the people. What kind of people is being talked about here? Look down your verse in Isaiah 14, look at verse 9 again. He said, hell from beneath is moved to meet thee for thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. There's kings in hell. There are rich people in hell. There are people of great stature in hell this morning. Somehow we got the idea that the only folks go to hell are the prostitutes and the dope fiends and the drunks and the murders on death row and stuff like that. Oh no, my Bible said there's kings. There's rich men. We read about a rich man going to hell here after a bit. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. It doesn't have to be that way, but it is that way. A lot of people, God is no respecter of person. You said God wouldn't send me to hell. Neighbor, if you go to hell, you sent yourself. Mark it down. You sent yourself by rejecting Jesus Christ. But look down at Revelation 20 again, please. Let's go back one more time. There are kings there and people of great stature. We hear all these so-called leaders making all these prognostications and all these mandates, and we're going to tell you how to live your life. You will do this. You will do that. Well, guess what? One day in hell, they're not going to tell anybody what to do. Look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. And the Bible said, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's pretty plain. It said whosoever. It didn't say the poor or the wicked away. It said whosoever. It doesn't matter. On the other side of the coin, the Lord Jesus Christ died for whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever wants to be saved can be saved through Jesus Christ. He died for everybody. But if you go to hell, you go on your own dime because you sent yourself there. Because you thought you weren't too bad to go to hell. Rich men, kings. Those kind of folks are down there. And there's all kinds of people in hell. Think about it. You say, "Preacher, I cannot stand to walk through the place where sometimes downtown where all the people, the needle freaks and all that are, and the people are screaming and hollering, and neighbor, and you don't want to go to hell, because in hell this morning, those folks are there, as well as the rich, as well as the church people and things like that that miss God. They're all there, and you're there for eternity with them. For God's sake, turn. For God's sake, get off the road and turn to Jesus Christ. The place is hell. The people are the kings and all those like them. But notice their pleas. Go back down to Isaiah chapter 14 again. And pick up verse 10. And they shall speak and say unto thee, "Art thou become like weak as we art thou become like unto us?" When Satan's bound up and put in the bottom of the pit, they said, "Wait a minute, you were the guy that said you're going to exalt your throne above the stars of God. You're the one that said you're going to be like the Most High. You're the one that said we ought to follow you. You're the one that said you'd make us rich. You're the one that said you'd make us famous. You're the one that said we could do anything we wanted to and still go to heaven. What happened? We're here and you're here too." That's what you get for following the devil. The devil will promise you anything. He'll promise you all everything in this life. Man, it's going to be fine. It's going to be good. You don't need God. You don't need the church. But let me remind you something, ladies and gentlemen. The devil is a low-down liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. And don't buy into it. Don't buy into it. But please. The people down there could speak. We'll come back to that in just a little bit. The people down there could see. They saw Satan come down. They saw him by the sides of the pit. Look at Luke 16 just a minute. You know, you're familiar with this text, but I want to pull out a verse here. Luke, the 16th chapter. The rich man dies and goes to hell here. But in Luke chapter 16, in Luke the 16th chapter, and down in verse 22, let's get the context of what we're talking about here. In Luke chapter 16 and in verse 22, the Bible said, and it came to pass that a beggar died, was carried by the angels of Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he seeth Abraham fall from Lazarus in his bosom. In hell, people have all their faculties. They will be able to see, they'll be able to hear, and they'll be able to speak. And then in hell, this man saw Lazarus and Abraham, when he looked across that gulf that was fixed and saw Lazarus over there in paradise and saw that he was not suffering. And he cried out and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus. I can see him. He's right there. Send him. Put some water on my tongue. So you can see in hell. What does that mean? That means you can see others that may have followed your path, your children, your grandchildren. And you say, I don't need God. You don't need to go to church. You know that stuff about the cross, that's all made up business. It's okay. Everybody's okay. If there is a God, he's a merciful God, and we're all going to heaven. He couldn't put anybody in hell. But let me tell you something. When you get to hell and see your children there and your neighbors and your friends, it'll be a sobering thing for you because they followed you. They followed your advice. They're pleased from hell. The people could talk, they could see, and they could hear. But why in Luke 16, look at verse 25. But Abraham said to some, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. They have their memory. They have perfect recall. We may not have it down here. Our minds may get kind of blurred down here with age. But I'm going to tell you something, in hell they have a sharp memory. And they remember, and he said, son, remember. You remember all the times you had, all the chances you had to be saved, all the chances you had to believe what Lazarus believed, all the times that I was merciful to you and let you live when you were using my name in vain and pigging out on stake. I gave you all that time, and now you're here. Remember, remember. You know what, men will not humble themselves, though. Think about it, look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16. And down in verse 18 is a very sobering passage of scripture. And in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18 said, pride go before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Men will not humble themselves. They hear the gospel. Somebody presents the gospel to them. They will not humble themselves. I'm a man, or I'm a woman of stature. I got a religion that's higher than that. I don't need that old bloody religion. Never let me tell you something. You get to hell, you wish you had that bloody religion. Why? Because you have an eternity of suffering without Jesus Christ because you rejected the blood of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said pride keeps folk from getting saved. Pride goeth for destruction, and a haughty spirit for a fall. Why is it we're so stinking proud? Well, because we're kin to the devil, that's why. The devil said, I'll exalt my throne. He fell because of pride. He said, I'm the covering cherub, and I'm going to be above God, and I'm going to have a following. But yet here he is today in Isaiah chapter 14. God said he's in the sides of the pit. He's brought down. Neighbor, let me tell you something. No matter how high you fly in this world, God knows how to bring us all down. Amen. The Bible said here, the Bible said you need to humble yourself. Jesus took our punishment on Calvary. He took our hell. He took the whip. He took the nails. He took the crown of thorns. They beat him nearly to death in Pilate's hall and drug him out there and crucified him naked on a cross and spit on him and gambled for his clothes. Why did he do that? That's the Son of God. He had the power to call the angels. He had the power to thrust the whole world into hell. But thank God he stayed because he loved us so much. He loved us, because, and so we love him because he first loved us. I didn't love him first. He loved me first. Amen. You say, mean God loves me? Yes, exactly. That makes hell all the more hot if you go there, because you reject the love of God. Take your Bibles, turn to John 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Now look down at verse 24. Jesus is speaking here. And in the simplest terms, he describes salvation. And in John chapter 5, and in verse 24, the Lord said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." How simple is that? He said, he that heareth my word. You'll never be able to leave today and say, I never heard the word of God. If you've never heard it before, you heard it this morning. Not because I'm good or because I'm such a good preacher. It's because we read it from God's blessed book. That's why. Amen. And he said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but it's passing death into life. I'm glad he made it simple. Bless his name. I'm glad he made it simple. If it'd been complicated, if it'd been something I had to buy, I'd be in hell today. But thank God for his mercy when he put it down where all of us could get it this morning. 1 John 5. Would you look at it with me, please? 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And Jesus, the Lord outlines this thing here, just line for line. You cannot miss it. And in verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God, you know who that is? That's Jesus, hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. His life is what? In his Son. Which I belong to the church. No, y'all belong to the church after you get saved. But the life's in his Son, not in the church. I tell you what, Brother Dave, I'm a lodge member. Fine, have a nice day, wear all the rings you want. But there's no life in the lodge, there's life in Jesus Christ. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life. Here's what it comes down to. Do you have the Son of God in your heart? Are you saved? It's that simple, folks. It's complicated on God's side. He had to give his own Son and lay my sin and your sin on him. All the sins of that world was on him on Calvary. It was more complicated and a great sacrifice on God's part. But when God's offered to you, he holds a blood-stained hand out and said, here it is. I did this for you. Will you take it? Will you repent of your sin and take my salvation? He that hath the Son hath life. Do you have the Son? Brother Dave, I'm Baptist. Do I stutter? He that hath the Son hath life. Or Brother Dave, I've been a good person. You weren't listening. He that hath the Son hath life. I quit drinking years ago. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There's no way you make that any simpler and plainer than that. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to be talking about in hell when you get there? What kind of things, what kind of subjects would you be talking about? Up here, people go to church, they hear this gospel sermon, and they're under conviction for a little while, but then they go home, go to dinner, watch a ball game, whatever they do. That preacher's whacked. He's nuts. How many degrees does he have? None. I'll tell you that right now, none. But guess what? You were just witness to the Word of God being read in your hearing. Amen. And you're accountable. You will never, ever be the same again. You're accountable for what you heard. Not whether I said it, whether Jason said it, whether anybody, whoever gives it. If somebody on the street gives you a gospel tract and says, I'm praying for you, you're accountable. What are you going to be talking about? You might be talking about, well, I remember in that service when conviction came on me and I grabbed that seat and I was sweating and I knew that I was going to go to hell, and And somebody next to me said, you know, I'll walk down with you if you want to go down. And I said, no, not today, not today, not today. You remember? What are we talking about? Are we talking about your golf game? Politics? No. Are we talking about, I wonder when this is over. I wonder if we're going to get out. I heard the other day down here, somebody came through in hell and they said, you know, God said it's going to be all over in a little bit and we're all going to go to heaven. Lie to hell, lie to hell. Oh, that's the latest rumor. We're not all going to be here. What are you going to be talking about? I'm talking about, I saw my son there last week. I saw him here. So I was on my neighbor. Oh, how did I get in this shape? You're talking about, well, maybe this is a dream. And I'm going to wake up and it's just going to be a dream. No. They're talking in hell this morning. They're talking. They're having conversations. What are you going to be talking about? There is an old story, a true story, from England. Short version of it was that there was a group of young men, college students, who formed a society called the Hell Club because they were so mean and lived such debauched lives. They lived for what the world could give them. They were rich little college boys, and they all formed this Hell Club because they said, well, everybody thinks we're going to hell. We may as well just have the Hell Club. But one of them was riding home on horse one night after they'd had their annual meeting of the Hell Club. There'd been liquor, there'd been all the evils, of all the things that you would imagine young men would do. He was riding down the lane to his mansion where his dad lived about 3 o'clock in the morning. And he said a figure came up and scared his horse. And the horse finally settled down. He said chill bumps just came on him. And he broke out in a sweat and he hit the horse. He said, I ran the horse clear to the stable looking over my shoulder. That night when he went to bed, he dreamed. And in that dream, a voice came to him and said, you know, this time next year, unless you repent this time next year, you're going to be in hell. He said he woke up. He said, it's just a dream. Just a dream. He sent word to his buddies, said, did anybody else dream? No, just you. So the year went by. They laughed about it. Every time we got together, they laughed. They said, man, what a dream. What did you eat anyway? That's a year later. He was riding down the same lane after the meeting they had. He had been particularly drunk. It had been particularly a wild party. But he never made it home. The horse was came to the stable by himself with the saddle empty. And they went out and sent a search party. They went along the road and they found this boy laying on his back. Hands formed like this with his eyes wide open and almost in a scream. A year from that day, he had to meet God. Friend, I don't know the time. I don't know when you're going to meet God. I don't know when I'm going to meet God. But here's what I can tell you. If you're saved and you're going to meet him today, thank God you'll say, bring it on. Thank God I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I've been washed in the blood. If Jesus comes to me today, I am ready. I like to preach the service of a funeral of a Christian that you know had a testimony they saved. But it's a horrible thing to have to stand and look down the casket and say, I don't know whether that person is saved or not. I plead with you with all sympathy this morning. I wanted to preach on heaven. I really did. I honest for God wanted to preach on heaven. God would not let me. I'm not that I'm so spiritual that I'm hearing from God all the time. I'm just saying my heart wanted to be preached on heaven. I will someday. The same Bible that talks about hell talks about heaven. But this morning, I want to just let you think about the conversations in hell this morning. They were talking to the devil. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? When you get to hell, and somebody said, wait a minute, you went to church down there. What are you doing here? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Let's stand with his back. Brother Jed, come, please. Sister Ellen, if you'd find the hymn, please. Just play it softly for us. I'd sure appreciate it. Here's about just a minute, and our eyes are closed. Child of God, let me tell you something. Every day we live, and I know that's probably true of many of you, it is for me. Every day we live, we need to thank God for salvation. We need to thank God that he saved us. that on the longest day you live and the hardest day you live, I will not have to go to hell. Bless his name, bless his name. And friend of mine, you can know that too. With our heads bowed and eyes closed just a minute, Helen plays this hymn softly for us. I want you to think about this. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. But Jesus said this. He said, I came to give them life and that more abundantly. Jesus came so you and I could have eternal life. He wants you to have it. He's no respecter of persons. Somebody said, Brother Dave, I've been a sinner a long time. That doesn't make any difference. Are you going to go to hell because you've been a sinner a long time? For goodness sakes, folks, that doesn't make any sense at all to me. What about you? Oh, Brother Dave, I'll tell you one thing. That guy down the road from me, he's going to go to hell. What about you? I used to go to prisons and visit in the jail cell, and they said, go down to the end of the jail cell and see that guy. He really needs it. No, you need it. We all need it. Our heads about just a minute and our eyes are closed. I don't often do this. I don't often do this out in revivals when I'm preaching, but I just feel like the Lord would have me do it today. While folks are praying, is there somebody here who could just stick your hand there and say, preacher, you know, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Could you pray for me? That's just that simple. Stick it up quick. Stick it up. I just don't know if I'm saved or not. Would you pray for me? Quickly. Put it up. I see one. God bless you. Who else? Who else? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Could you pray for me? Child of God, our lives should lead others to the Lord. And every day we live, in some form or fashion, we should be able to thank God for what he's done for us. Maybe this morning, even after a message on hell, you'd want to slip this altar and go on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful I don't have to go there. I thank you, Lord, that you intervened and I heard the gospel and I've been saved. There's nothing wrong with giving God thanks no matter when it is. Our Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that folks are already at this altar. I pray, Father, there'll be many more that would come. I don't know the reason they come. I don't know why they come. That's between you and them. That's not my business. But I pray, Lord, for this one that's lifting their hand. I pray, God, that if they come, that you'd save them. And ask God that you to do all that needs to get done in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.